Joining us from New York, it's our friend Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal. Hello there, Sean.
Hey, guys. How are you? Maybe it's me, but you may or may not have heard the game has been postponed for this evening because of a COVID outbreak on the part of the Yankees. So the start of the second half, which was to be kind of a exclusive game tonight, this is the only game on the schedule, is now not on the schedule at all.
Wow.
That just happened a little while ago.
And do we know if that might impact the teams beyond tonight's game?
Well, it's certainly possible, I guess. We've heard no more. We have had the official confirmation after some rumors over the last half hour that the game is postponed. Major League Baseball sent out a release saying as much and said that additional scheduling information would be forthcoming. I would imagine it may... whether they're able to resume the series tomorrow or anytime this weekend is going to be dependent on how many people are affected on the Yankees and how quickly they could get some replacements here from their AAA club, not unlike what the Phillies went through on Sunday morning in Boston. So disconcerting, obviously. A lot of interest in this one, as always is the case with the Red Sox and Yankees, even more so because it was going to be the only game in town with an exclusive ESPN telecast tonight. So a lot of spotlight on the two teams. And then finally, the arrival of both Jaron Duran and Tanner Houck. So all of that is going to have to wait at least 24 hours, if not longer.
Well, let's talk about Jaron Duran, Sean. How is he likely to be used at least early on here?
Well, he was in the lineup tonight in center field, Rich, hitting seventh, and I would suspect that that's probably what we'll see for the most part, not exclusively and not necessarily every game, whether they keep him away from lefties initially or just, mix some other people in. But, it's clear they did not want to interrupt his development at AAA Worcester to come in and play twice a week. That does nobody any good. They want to have him continue to play and get better. And if he's not doing that, I would think they would want him back at AAA. So I don't think this is temporary where it's Marwin Gonzalez going on the IL and they need somebody for 10 days. There were other options for that. So I think he's here, and barring, a complete inability to play at this level, which I don't think anyone expects to happen, he'll stay, and then it's a matter of how they work him into the lineup on a regular basis. And I would expect that those would be more games than not in center field, but as I noted, not necessarily every day. And he was hitting seventh, I think I've mentioned. That seems to be a good plan because it doesn't put too much pressure on him leading off. He's going to be under enough of a microscope here, making his debut for the Red Sox in the middle of the pennant race. But hitting him seventh gives him, a little bit more runway, and it also gives them some balance of adding a lefty bat in the lower third of the order.
And what is Tanner Houck's role going to be?
That's going to be interesting, too. Again, this was all, when we spoke to Alex Cora, it was with the understanding that there was going to be a game tonight, and initially the plan was to use him out of the bullpen in multi-inning stints in this series, kind of like they have with Garrett Whitlock over the first half, and then have him pitch and start on Wednesday in Buffalo, which would have been the third game of the series, and will be the third game of the series with the Blue Jays. Now, it's possible that with the cancellation tonight that we could see a doubleheader on Saturday because there's a night game and they could wedge a day-nighter in on Saturday afternoon, in which case they would probably need to use Houck sooner in the starting role. But initially, the plan was, and may still be, to alternate between the bullpen, make a start, go back to the bullpen, and then the next time around in that rotation, slot in. So essentially they'll be using a five-man rotation one time through and a six-man the second time through, and then keep repeating that with Houck contributing in between out of the bullpen.
So we're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. So with Hauk, with Jaren Duran, and then with Chris Sale just a matter of weeks away, does that mean the team is less inclined to be looking to make any kind of a deal other than just perhaps a spare part at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think that probably is what to expect, Rich. I don't see them doing anything super dramatic. I know there's going to be some big names out there. You're going to have a couple of former Red Sox, with the Cubs alone being made available, with Craig Kimbrell and Anthony Rizzo. But I don't see them doing anything that dramatic. I think it will be more complimentary stuff. If they could get a left-handed first baseman, perhaps one that doesn't make as much and wouldn't cost as much as Rizzo does, then that might be an option. And you know, maybe there's a reliever out there that they can bolster the bullpen with. It seems every year at the deadline, every contending team tries to get better in the bullpen. So I would expect that they would, at the very least, try to add a reliever. But I don't see anything, you know, super dramatic or very impactful on the deadline, both because of what you mentioned, because they have some in-house supplements now added to the roster, and also because it's pretty obvious that Chaim Bloom does not want to disrupt where they are in their rebuild of the minor league system just to go for it in the fall of 2021.
Is Garrett Richards the odd man out when Chris Sale comes back?
He would be at risk to be that guy, I think. But I think it's important to note that that's probably a month away. You know, he just made his first rehab start today down in Fort Myers for the Complex League affiliate. So I wouldn't think we're going to see him before August. And, you know, between now and then is a good 3+ weeks, and who knows what happens then in terms of injury and performance, being that he's a guy that has struggled the last month and also has a history of pitching out of the bullpen. He would seem to be the logical odd man out, but probably too early to determine that right now.
Sean, as you look around the American League East, obviously Tampa Bay keeps hanging in there. Who, from your perspective, is the biggest threat to the Red Sox down the stretch?
I think it's still Tampa. You know, I know that losing Glasnow is a huge blow to them. Whether they get anything from him the rest of the way remains to be seen. But it just seems like there is a never-ending pipeline of young talent and arms that they can plug in there and still be relevant. You know, they have a manager who's used to mixing all the parts together and platooning and having a very versatile roster with guys playing a number of different positions. You know, the Yankees still have the talent. The Blue Jays can't be dismissed. But I think when you look at the standings, while being 8 games out, as the Yankees and Jays are heading into the second half, doesn't eliminate anybody from contention, it certainly is an uphill fight for both of them. And I think the Red Sox chief competition is going to be from the team that is right on its heels right now. That's Tampa, a game and a half back.
It was good to see so many Red Sox in the All-Star game the other night, and most of them acquitted themselves pretty well, particularly Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers.
Yeah, a couple of hits from Bogaerts and an RBI and a double from Devers. You know, everybody got into the game and took part and was able to contribute in some way. You know, that's the nature of the All-Star game in the 21st century, is that instead of everybody getting a trophy, everybody gets an at-bat or two. And, you know, those guys had some fun, particularly, you know, somebody like Barnes and Devers, for whom it was a first-time experience.
Sean, I saw that you're contributing and have contributed to a publication honoring the great Pedro Gomez, who passed away earlier this year. We, of course, admired his work, but what can you tell us about Pedro as a person?
Yeah, he was a good friend of mine, and it was a terrible shock to lose him on Super Bowl night back in February, Rich. And days after, Steve Kettman, who is a mutual friend of ours and who's actually a very, very close friend of Pedro's, came up with the idea of putting together a book, soliciting essays from people across the game, both in the game of baseball and among the sports media contingent, and I was honored to be asked and contribute. I wrote about kind of an unusual bond that Pedro and I had. It was kind of a silly one, but it was something that sustained us through the years, and that was our mutual love for the movie Animal House. We were constantly texting quotes from the movie back and forth and having a good laugh, and so that was kind of the jumping off point for me to talk about my friendship with Pedro, which goes back 20-25 years at this point. The book is available now on Amazon. If you check out my Twitter profile from yesterday, you can find the link. The proceeds go to the Pedro Gomez Foundation, which is being started by his family and is a worthy cause. And you get everybody, there's 62 essays in there, everybody from Terry Francona to Dusty Baker to Tony La Russa to Ken Rosenthal and Peter Gammons and Dan Shaughnessy, people all over every aspect of baseball. Who Pedro touched over the years. And as I said, it was an honor, and yet one I wish I hadn't been afforded. We hated losing him, but I welcome the opportunity to contribute, and it was a great experience.
Animal House. One more reason why I like you so much, Sean. We have had, we've had Otter on the show, and we've had Douglas C. Niedermeyer on the show, and we had poor Stephen Bishop, who got his guitar smashed by Belushi, has been on the show.
That's right, on the stairs when he gave his love a cherry and paid for it with a smashed guitar on his head.
Which he still has, the Belushi autographed the biggest piece for him, and he has that on his wall.
Yeah, and as I understand it, that was completely unscripted.
Right.
Belushi was walking down, and I guess the script called for him to, yell at him or tell him to stop, and Belushi thought it might be a little more comedic to take the guitar and smash it to bits, which if you watch the take, it certainly caught everybody on that stairwell by surprise and kind of added to the legend of that movie. You know, it may not make its way onto the AFI top 100 movies of all time, but it's a funny one, and as I said, one that Pedro and I shared our great love for.
By the way, Sean, I wanted to thank you again for the wonderful piece that you did for Down East Magazine on my favorite spot, my wife's favorite spot, and you earned me big brownie points with my in-laws too.
Well, that's good. It was fun doing that and putting it together. That was my first contribution to Down East Magazine, and who knows, Rich, maybe we'll get a little bit longer profile of you in there at some point down the road.
Well, whatever you do, we know it's going to be terrific. Sean, thanks as always for joining us. Enjoy a night off in New York, and hopefully baseball returns tomorrow.
Yeah, let's hope so. Fingers crossed. We'll see where this takes us the next few days, but one more unsettling aspect to the sports world in the post-COVID or maybe not post-COVID era.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you very much, Sean. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
That's Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal, with us here on Downtown with some breaking news on the Red Sox-Yankees game. No go tonight. COVID protocols for the Yankees, so we'll follow that closely and see what happens.